Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode one of Off the Record. We're your hosts, Julie and Maya. How our show works is every week we'll analyze different artists, albums, lyrics, the artists themselves, and much more, talking about their greatest achievements and our own personal opinions on the artist. This episode, we will be covering Nirvana.
Nirvana! Oh my gosh.
If we couldn't tell, this is very much a Maya episode where she is extremely excited on this band. So take it away.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie. I'm so excited. Let's deep dive. We're going to deep dive into this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nirvana ran from 1988 to 1994, first performing under the name Nirvana at a community world theater, winning 17 awards, including 2 Grammys, 3 MTV Video Awards, along with 27 nominations. The band had achieved 531 hits on top billboards for their song Smells Like Teen Spirit, obviously. If you don't know Smells Like Teen Spirit, you don't know Nirvana, okay? Like... My opinions are coming later, don't worry. Come As You Are, Lithium, Heart Shaped Box, and All Apologies. And I know you were asking.
Okay, yeah, Maya, what are we asking?
How did Nirvana get their name? And how did they just become a band, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the early 80s, Kurt Cobain attended Aberdeen High School in Washington State, where he met and became friends with future bandmate and bassist Chris Novoselic. Sorry if I said the last name wrong. I'm going to feel really bad if I did.
It's all good, queen.
Kurt wanted to form a band with Chris, and at the time, he had a project going titled Fecal Matter, which he gave Chris a demo tape to listen to. It wasn't until 3 years after the two had first met that Chris finally notified Kurt that he had listened to the demo and suggesting starting a band together. Their first group was a CCR cover band called The Sellouts, which featured Kurt on the drums and Chris on the guitar and vocals. The cover band fell through after a short amount of time, and in 1986, they moved on to the next project. This one featured original songs and new drummer Bob McFadden. However, the project only lasted about a month. Kurt and Chris recruited drummer Aaron for a new project. In this one, they practiced songs from Kurt's Fecal Matter project, as well as started writing new material. In the first few months, the band went through a series of names such as Skid Row, Pen Cap Chew. Honestly, that's kind of fire, Pen Cap Chew.
No, honestly... Yeah. Someone should steal that, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And Ted Ed Friend, my apologies. Ha, get it? All apologies?
Ha, ba-dum.
They settled on the name Nirvana, as Kurt Cobain is quoted saying, kind of beautiful or nice and pretty instead of a mean, raunchy punk name.
Whoa, big words. Okay, so yeah. That was a little... What do we call that? A little biography? Backstory.
Backstory
on yes. How the band got their name.
Of course.
So now let's hop into some questions.
Because honestly, guys, I actually might have to like listen to the questions like 5 times over and then research it if I don't know it. Because I'm gonna look like one of those like basic people. Okay.
Name 5 songs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Let's just start with like some basic questions just to, you know, get to know us a little bit. Favorite album?
Oh my god. Okay, guys. Let's settle down.
Okay,
guys.
Mhm.
Not everyone's going to agree.
Wait, first let's talk about albums and stuff. Let's start there and then let's jump back to that.
Okay.
Give them a little knowledge beforehand. So, there's 3 albums, like official albums, from what I'm reading right here. Bleach, which was made in 1989, Nevermind, which was 1991, and In Utero, which was their last album in 1993. Am I right on that one?
You know, I think you are, actually.
Oh, look at me go, guys.
I can't remember at the top of my head, but yeah, it's pretty accurate.
There's like 21 singles, 5 live albums, 4 compilation albums, 7
Wait a minute.
Video albums, 8 music videos.
Julie, let's rewind.
Uh-oh.
how many times, this is my fault for not realizing this, by the way, but Julie, how many times have I said that Incesticide is my favorite album and it is not listed on the three albums? Four albums, actually.
Okay, hey guys, fun fact, when Maya was doing driving school, she told me there was only three.
Incesticide.
I'm adding this to my Google Doc, y'all. Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
So, that was really loud. Sorry about that. Okay, so four albums. Apologies. So, yeah. Maya, I bet I could guess her favorite song, too.
Guess.
Sliver.
How did you know?
Brother. Try that one again.
How did you know?
I don't know. Guys, she says it like every single day of her life. Save me. Save me. Okay, anyway.
So, I know whoever is listening to this out here, I know what they're going to say. Because you know what they're going to say? Mm. They're going to say, Incesticide, technically not really an album. Incesticide, stupid. Why would anyone, you only like that because that was their actual first album. No, let me tell you, no. Okay, you were all wrong because you know what? We're going in full. I'm gonna quiz all of y'all.
Oh,
while you're listening, okay?
Oh, big test at the end, guys. Get ready.
So, no, it's happening right now.
Oh, so sorry. Go for it.
I can tell which kind of a person you are depending on what your favorite album is, and y'all don't want to hear that, but I'm here.
Go for it.
So, are we ready? If your favorite is Incesticide, you are the type of person that always listens to like freaking Albert Einstein's first like word. Like you always listen to like the first ever freaking like thing. And yeah. Anyway, if your favorite album was Bleach, you're cool. You're probably a little bit older. Or you're a 14-year-old who thinks they're a metalhead, but actually showers every day. So you're not
my
technically.
My take on that is from someone who does not listen to Nirvana, by the way.
Shriek!
I know, right? My best friend listens to it, and I won't listen for a day in my life. It's not my genre, okay? In my defense, not my genre. Right, and we are back. I should probably pause that. Okay.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's chat. Why is that your favorite song?
You know, I actually don't know. I just really, because everyone...
No, valid answer.
I don't quite understand, okay? I am not quite... I don't get it, okay? I just love the song.
You're gonna... Okay, new question?
Oh, yeah, what questions? You asked me the questions. I'm ready.
What made them so successful? What was their, like, rise to fame?
Oh, well, aren't you glad?
Aren't you glad?
Aren't you glad that I have a banana? Okay, that's not.
Yeah, guys, you heard it here first. Aren't you glad banana?
My fault.
No, it's okay.
I'm gonna actually, like, I have information to back this up. I actually made a marketing project about this in, like, last year, so I have the...
Okay. Don't worry.
Dude, look at all this info I got.
She just pulled out, like, a, what is that, 14-page?
Yeah.
Like, 14-page slideshow. So, yeah, please. What was their rise to fame? Take it away.
Thank you. In 1985, Nirvana released their first album, Bleach, including songs like Negative Creep and School. I'm sure you guys all know that song if you're listening to a podcast about Nirvana, or you just want to hang out with cool people. I don't know.
Exactly.
Not many people had listened to it at the time, as they were still growing their fan base. They were still considered underground, though. Chad Channing was still the drummer at this time. Nirvana's first ever single, called Love Buzz, was a covered song by Shocking Blue. Love Buzz appears on the Bleach album as well. The main recording place for Bleach was at the... Reciprocal.
Okay. Sound a little something like this.
Reciprocal.
Okay. Reciprocal?
Yeah. Well, that is what that word is.
The main recording place for Bleach was at the Reciprocal Recording Center in Seattle, Washington. At the time, Nirvana was under Sub Pop's label, and when you remember that guy? Bleach was the only album to feature Chad Channing. Isn't that crazy? You know, there was an actual story, and I don't know if it's true or not because I'm a little bit, like, slow. But some guy made Dave Grohl sign a vinyl of Bleach, and that's really funny because Dave Grohl wasn't the drummer at the time. So it's, like, very funny that he signed... Like, it's his band, yes, but he wasn't in it at the time. Like, that's so weird.
Okay.
So, Dave Grohl signed...
Lord drop.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was
Lord
like...
drop.
I was laughing so hard, you guys. I don't know. I found it so funny.
Yeah, knee slapper.
excuse me. Okay, are you ready? So,
yes.
In my, like, personal terms, I would definitely, like, call it, like, with a little bit of sarcasm, but, like, I would call it pretty much an overnight success. I think it was, like, so crazy how it all started. So, if you want to learn about that, I'll tell you. On September 24th, 1991, Nirvana's Nevermind was released. Everyone was absolutely going crazy over it. No matter what age you were at the time, you had definitely heard it playing somewhere, whether it was on the radio or playing on nearby speakers. Nevermind was so different from others because it brought alternative rock as a whole into mainstream music. And do you know how hard that is nowadays, especially? Like, it is so hard. So I appreciate all the new artists, but that's my take on that. After 3.5 months of the album's official release date, it had gotten number one on Billboard's top 200. In the year 1991 alone, Nevermind had sold over 300,000 copies. That's a lot for 1991.
Yeah, what?
And by the end of 1992, had sold over 3 million copies worldwide.
Ooh.
They are still known as the biggest band of the 90s. Something that definitely increased their popularity, too, was getting attention from MTV, which, like, later they would play for, but, like, the main thing was, yeah, definitely an overnight success crazy thing. I think right now we need to talk about the song Smells Like Teen Spirit, because I told you guys it would come back.
Isn't that, like, their number one song?
Yes, I think it always will be.
Oh, probably.
I think so. But anyway, I'm gonna give you a little bit of a
with 2,331,917,112 streams on Spotify at 5:51 p.m. March 19th.
You know what? We're gonna change the topic a little bit.
Oh,
I know Nirvana has kind of been like, what's the word? Like, they've kind of been brought into, like, more of a t-shirt company or a t-shirt label recently. And I gotta say, I have absolutely no problem with that. Because I know, like, many Nirvana fans, like, the really hardcore ones, they're gonna be like, oh my god, you should never, ever do that. Like, nuh-uh. Awful. This is yuck. But you know what? No. Because I think that a t-shirt is a t-shirt, and I think you should wear whatever you like and what fits you the best. Who cares if you don't listen to Nirvana? Just make sure that you at least, you know, if you, I feel like the common, you know, thing, if you see, like, a word on a shirt that you don't...
Name five songs!
Sorry. If you see a word on a shirt that you, like, think is, like, oh, what the freak is this? Like, at least Google the word and then, like, find out that it's a band, and then that's all you have to say. Just know that Nirvana is a band, and that's quite literally it.
And why are they hot pink? I don't like that part, that they're, like, hot pink.
That is kind of weird, but I feel like it's quirky enough that someone that listens to Nirvana, or I should say Nirvana's fan base, is quirky enough to wear something like that. But also, it was brought to H&M, and they do that to most of their band shirts, so pick and choose.
Yeah. Deftones next? No, I'm joking. Please don't do that. Sorry. Anyways, moving on. That was actually going to be a topic I brought up. What's with the smiley face? Is that like their whole logo? Like their brand is the smiley face?
Yes.
I'm
going to
chat
out
about that one.
I believe it was first used on a poster advertising like a launch party for the Nevermind album and like in like 1991. I think Kurt got it from like a Seattle like club.
Like a strip club?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I think I could be wrong maybe, but if anyone's listening, please, you know.
Correct.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong because I have no idea.
Yay! Okay. Here's a question you wanted to talk about, actually.
Woo!
How did Nirvana change the world in terms of grunge and rock?
Let's talk about it.
Let's.
So, I'm going to pull up my chair for this one. So, actually, Nirvana changed... This is just from, like, my personal opinion, but maybe I'm just going crazy. I don't know. But anyway, Nirvana...
I mean, we can do personal opinion. That's true.
Yeah, that is... Because, like...
Yeah, personal opinion.
When I thought of that question, I thought of personal opinion, but that's, you know... I don't know. Anyways, I just growled there. Wow.
Low-key, that's crazy. But,
Like... Nirvana in the grunge aspect, like, if you think about it, what was really before, okay, there were, of course, bands like that when Nirvana was released, but Nirvana,
do you want to give an example, if you know one?
The only one that I could kind of think is, like, relatively similar is, like, maybe Pearl Jam?
Okay, no, that's a good example, yeah.
Like, I don't know, but... I mean, even then, like, it was so hard to become mainstream. So, like, obviously, Nirvana didn't, you know, go mainstream, like, right then. Because that takes a long time, especially because it's rock. Mm-hmm. But especially because it was so publicly advertised that people, like, they just felt like they could trust it because they saw it on the radio, they saw it on like, they're like, oh yeah, this is like actually awesome. And like, it was weird because even people who didn't listen to that kind of music, they all came together like as literally like one whole and was like, oh my god, this song is great. So like, that's kind of like what I think, but that's just, I don't know what I think.
Okay, no, that's fine. Biggest influence. I don't really know what that means. I just kind of wrote down biggest influence.
Okay.
Yeah, biggest influence. I don't really know what that meant. You just kind of threw it at me and I wrote it down.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, who's meant their biggest influence, I guess? Here we go.
Okay. Do you want to know why Nirvana changed the world, Julie?
Why, Maya? Let me know.
Have you heard as... I'm really sorry to say this because the next band that I'm going to say is hated by a lot of people.
Is it Green Day?
No. Oh. Weezer, Pearl Jam... I said that way too loud. Weezer, Pearl Jam, Arctic Monkeys, or even Linkin Park.
Ooh, Linkin Park. You can say those names.
Linkin Weezer.
I don't... Okay, guys. As a... someone who is not in this genre, I don't know why they're hated. I actually kind of freak with them all, so. Hey, Maya, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How did Nirvana change the music world in terms of grunge and rock?
We just talked about this.
Hey, Maya, what was their biggest influence? What question are we on? Unique, popular, successful. Yeah, biggest influence. You said something about, like, Green Day.
Right.
Yeah, keep going. Maya. Buddy.
So, are you wondering, because I know you're wondering, how did Nirvana change the world?
Of course.
Well, Have you ever heard his bands such as Weezer, Pearl Jam, Arctic Monkeys, or even Linkin Park? Even though these bands are almost literally nothing alike other than being under the same kind of genre, you know, I don't know how people do the genres nowadays. It doesn't make sense, guys. We all know that.
I like Arctic Monkeys out of those four.
Even though, like, they're not under the same genre, there's actually something they can all relate to. Nirvana's music as a whole heavily influences all these bands. Based off of interviews from those bands, they had all said that their music was heavily influenced by Nirvana. If it wasn't for Nirvana, those bands probably wouldn't even be as popular as they are today. Because, you know, they're trying to get on the grind.
The Nirvana wave path.
Yeah.
Yeah, that made sense. All right, I think we have time for one more little gap. Let's talk about the members of the band. So, I'm saying this name right. Chris, okay. So, he went into a band called Third Secret.
Yes.
Dave went to the Foo Fighters.
Yes.
That is absolutely insane.
It is. Yes. Actually, my dad and I, we did a little Google search the other day, and we listened to some of these songs, and I've got to say, I'm impressed, Chris. I'm impressed.
What does that mean for the people who are just kind of listening, don't really get what you're talking about here?
You wouldn't even be able to tell he was in Nirvana before this, honestly. I think, personally, all of his songs kind of get repetitive, but it just doesn't remind me of the Nirvana scene at all, which is absolutely great, because some artists, the Beatles, don't exactly know how to change their music up even after they leave the band. So that's the call out. But
that's a crazy diss, because we're literally doing an episode on the Beatles soon.
Oh, that's fine. I love the Beatles.
Oh, that's great.
Just
that's
like
great.
How I love the Smiths.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, that was episode one of Off the Record with me and Maya. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you.
And we will hopefully see you sometime soon.